The military-industrial complex doesn't care about us. We need to stop sending our children to war and dying for the bankers and elites. The medical-industrial complex does not care about us. They need us sick and weak so we can be patients for life. Stop taking their poison. The education system is merely an indoctrination program designed to supply the elites with obedient workers and turn over as much profit as possible at our expense. Let's turn off the television, put down the phone. Let's take our country back. Thanks for being one of us. You are listening to the Conspiracy Soldiers Podcast.
Recording in progress.
All right, what's up, ladies and germs? Welcome back to the show. It's happy Easter. It's Easter morning, March 31st, 2024. It's 7:24 a.m.
We are late, and he is risen.
We're waiting on a dude from London. He was supposed to be here at 7. We've been waiting for 24 minutes. Julio's over there drinking ice, smoking weed, and I'm drinking coffee right now. But I'm starting to get pissed off. Here he goes.
There we go.
Andy, can you hear me? It says he's connecting.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But anyway. All right. You got to click on the mic in the bottom left-hand corner. Because your audio is not working.
Better?
There you go. You on your computer, your phone, or what?
I'm on my laptop.
Laptop. All right. All right. yeah, we didn't think you were going to show up. We were getting ready to just do a different show.
I just caught the time then, and I thought, oh, shit, I'm late.
No problem. All right, tell everybody who you are and like a little bit about your book, but we're going to talk about some other stuff before we really get into the book.
Yeah. Okay, so my name's Andrew Bennett. I've studied ancient history, ancient religion, the colonization of the planet since I was maybe 15 years old, and I'm 51 now. So I've quite a lot of research. The book is about the colonization of the Earth and the way the model we've got now is completely wrong. And the DNA database has showed us that much. You know, you've got the Aborigines of Australia closely linked to the tribes of the Amazon jungle. It's on the other side of the Pacific. You've got people, the natives of Mexico, their closest genetic relations are the people of Asia, again, the other side of the world. So we need to go back in time so far for these early connections that A, we're older than 360,000 years that canonically academia says we are, unless we actually found the oldest human ever, which seems preposterous. We could be 500,000 years old where these. We could be 750,000 years old with these. You know, we just don't know.
Right. Are you religious?
I didn't used to be. But the older I've got, there seems to be a master plan. There seems to be a series of events that, you know, this solar system is almost built for us to explore, expand, mine, and everything's there for us. And we're protected by a round cradle of rock. This solar system is completely protected by a round, like, it's almost like daycare. So when Fermi said, where are they all? They're outside the daycare waiting to see if we make it.
Okay.
That's what I believe.
Right. Well, yeah, I believe in God, but we've talked about this on this show many times, but you know, the Bible was written by man, and man has been compromised. You know what I mean? So I think like, you know, when Rome fell, I think it didn't really fall. I believe the Vatican
didn't fall.
The Vatican is the new Rome. Yeah.
The Vatican is Rome.
Yep, that's what I think too. I don't know, maybe that was one of the posts that caught my attention that I seen, that I think I seen you on Reddit. But
and Romanized Christianity is a million miles away from what Jesus taught. There were 14 books in the original Bible. There's a Gospel of Mary, there's a Gospel of Judas. Mary was number one disciple, so should she not be front and center? You know, the establishment turned her into a whore, for Christ's sake. It's the four gospels that suited Rome the best, and I believe Rome, to sell it to its own people, almost amalgamated Christianity with paganism. If that makes sense. You know, we used to pray on a Friday. Now we pray on a Sunday, which is the soul's day, to make it easier to sell to Roman citizens. Because don't forget, 2 centuries before this, to be a Christian in Rome was an immediate death sentence.
Right. And if I'm not mistaken, wasn't Constantine running that shit?
Yeah, influenced heavily by his mother, who took a tour of the Middle East and actually tortured holy men. This is a true story. Tortured holy men to tell them where Jesus was born, where he was crucified, and to make sure she was getting the right information, she tortured them.
Wow.
And that is a fact.
So, like, was she in charge of, like, soldiers, or what do you, I mean, who actually did this?
She went on what's called a pilgrimage, because she wanted to build a church on the site he was born, the Nativity, and she wanted to build a church on the site that the cross was. And to get that information, because she was getting different levels of information off different people, she actually got a group of holy men together and put them through hell to tell her where, A, he was born, B, where he died. And by that time, he came. I don't think Constantine ever truly got on board. I think he just went with the flow.
Well, he also burnt down the Library of Alexandria, right?
No, that Julius Caesar, I think that was, trying to escape with his life with Cleopatra. They only just escaped, and by setting fire to the library, they actually put a line of fire between them and the enemies. Julius Caesar actually had to strip his armor off and swim to his own ship. You know, that was a close one. We lost a lot of information there.
Didn't he, isn't he the Constantine, the guy from the city Constantinople in Istanbul?
I'm not sure if, or whatever. Yeah, I'm not sure if that name is that. I'm not 100% sure, but I wouldn't be surprised.
Right. Yeah, because when they took all the books out of the Bible, that was the Council of Nicaea, but they had several versions of that.
Yeah.
And, I mean, because, like, for instance, take the Book of Enoch. it helps you to understand Genesis if you've read that book, but they took it out, yeah. And I think that was intentional.
Yeah, but a lot of the Old Testament stories aren't Christian anyway. They're Sumerian.
Right.
If you look at the Noah story, almost word for word, 3,000 years earlier, that story was being told in Sumeria. And it's down to the fine details of collecting the best pairs of animals, the best seeds. The only difference is his God said the best people as well to repopulate the earth. So the best animals, the best seeds, the best of humanity to survive a flood of 40 days and 40 nights. He releases birds at the end and one comes back with a twig in its mouth. And that's how he knows that there's land to find again. It's a story. Even our concept of heaven is a Sumerian concept.
Right. And speaking of the flood, have you heard the theory that one of Noah's son's wives had Nephilim DNA?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, obviously, I haven't read your book, and I don't know how much of this stuff is in your book.
The Nephilim.
What's that?
Not too much about the Nephilim. There's not too much about the Nephilim. I don't know how far on board I can get with that. The book is mainly about temples that resonate with the 111 hertz frequency, which does the brain good. It's actually been shown to switch off the frontal cortex, switch power to the right side of the brain from the left, which gives you more imagination. It's easier to meditate. And I believe it brought the tribe together as one to either and or communicate with the recently deceased and or gods.
Right. And that's got a lot to do with the pineal gland, correct?
That's correct, yeah.
Well, here in the United States, they put fluoride in our water, which calcifies the pineal gland. I don't think that's the case in Europe, right?
It depends where you are. Some of our water's hard, some of our water's soft. But I don't think there's fluoride in it.
Right. That's a good thing. We need to change that here.
Yeah. For sure.
Yeah. All right.
My main thesis, though, about the book is the Americas were not populated from the north down. The earliest sites of human activity in the Americas is in the middle and in the south. So Mesoamerica and Southern America. There's a site in Southern California. It's 130,000 years old. And basically, they've stripped a mammoth of its meat. And the deep scratches on the bones and the way they've cracked the bones open show that it was work stone. And it's exactly the same patterning as later. Later sites that we know that's what they were doing. And one of these tusks was planted in the loam soil as either this is our land or we were here. And then you don't see them again for another like 30, 40,000 years. But there's a mine around Lake Superior that's got the best quality copper in the entire world. It's 99% pure. And wow. Somebody... very, very long time ago, was making the journey from Greece or Turkey to go and mine that ore, because off the coast of Turkey in the 1970s, I believe, they found a very ancient shipwreck with the same copper ore, with the same chemical signature as found around Lake Superior. And the instant the Minoan civilization stopped, so did the mining.
Okay.
I think that's quite compelling.
Yeah, we By the way, everybody just calls me Fox. This is Julio, right?
Yeah.
And we live in Ohio, so we're off of Lake Erie. But we're real close to the Great Lakes, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Lake Erie, is that near Lake Mead?
No. I think that's in Utah.
Something.
We're by the Great Lakes, like Lake Superior, Lake Michigan.
Yeah.
We're kind of like in the Midwest.
Right. Because there's also a lake around Lake Mead, which is a salt mine. And the miners of the 19th century, when they got in there, couldn't believe the level of work that had been carried out before. It literally looks like excavator work. And they've dug into the side of a mountain, so you've got to have engineering, mathematical skills to keep the place standing and take the most salt out as possible. And again, we have a very pure form of salt. So it seems the ancients were the same as us in the respects of we like quality items.
Yeah, so down
there's a lot of evidence.
Hey, isn't like Mead where in Las Vegas where it was drying up and they were discovering like bodies that were thrown in there with concrete shoes?
No, that's by Lake Mead's by Salt Lake City. Yeah. Right. That's down there in the Mormon area.
Yeah, in Utah.
Yeah, Utah.
That's what I'm saying. Like, that's where they were discovering, because like the water level went low.
Yeah.
And they started discovering like cars and other shit in there.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, Julio.
Well, do you know about the Younger Dryas?
No.
Have you heard about the Younger Dryas event? Well, the last great cataclysm man suffered was 12,800 years ago, and it's called the Younger Dryas event. 2,500 years before that, we had the older and the oldest Dryas events, both presumed to be comets. I've lost you there, Joe. Can you still hear me?
I hear you.
Okay, I don't seem to be able to see you. Anyway, so the last great cataclysm we suffered was 12,800 years ago. And what followed was 1,300 years that made the Ice Age seem like a spring day. But the evidence in the Siberian death pits are of mammoths with any legs that were load-bearing at the time were snapped like twigs. There's even mastodons that have rose up on their front legs and been snapped at the hip joints. The force has been massive. This is an animal adapted to the Ice Age, and it was found flash frozen with buttercup still in its mouth and undigested food in its stomach. And there's an absolute death pit. Obviously, the rivers and, have taken them there. But when they uncover these things, the legs are always splayed out at really violently disturbed angles. And what followed then was 1,300 years of absolute horror. Again, I think that's why we have so many Hollow Earth myths, because the only safe place to survive was underground. So you get places like Derinkuyu and, places like that. After 1,300 years, the Earth suddenly warmed very quickly. This was also a problem, as millions of tons of fresh water were entering the Gulf Stream, causing huge storms, tornadoes, tidal waves. And that was 9,000 years before Solon took his trip to Egypt. So 9,000 years plus the time that's passed is 11,600 years. Now, geologists have a date for an event called Meltwater Pulse 1b, which is the biggest flood this world has ever seen that we know of. But 11,600 years ago is a very special date. because it's written on the walls. It was written on the walls of two temples in Egypt. And it was written about an island of the primeval ones that was destroyed in a day of night of catastrophic fire and flood. Are they talking about Atlantis or the culture we know as Atlantis? Because that's how it seems to me. The CIA have also done some serious work into this. There's a site called the Black Vault, and they show us the recently declassified CIA reports. And the week the CIA spent at the Rishat structure, or the Eye of the Sahara, it's still classified to this day, apart from 52 pages. And in those 52 pages, Joe, it's explosive. It's just explosive. And it's heavily redacted. Even the 52 pages they released are heavily redacted. It's right. Called the Adam and Eve document, and it was written by a guy called Chan Thomas.
The story of the Adam and Eve. I'm familiar with that. That's got to do with nukes and stuff. Am I right, or something like that?
No. This document was called the Adam and Eve document. It wasn't about Adam and Eve necessarily.
Right. Yeah.
It was about cataclysms the Earth has suffered and will suffer again.
Right. Yes. Yeah.
Well, he's talking about Fox. We kind of touched upon it
when I was gone
ago. No. We touched upon it on a couple episodes ago.
Oh.
When the ISS flies over the Earth.
Yeah.
They use the destruction that you're talking about.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
The Eye of the Sahara, yeah. But it's also called, what is it, the something structure?
The Rishat structure.
Yeah. And they say that it's got the same concentric rings described by Plato.
Yeah.
Who only heard this story hundreds of years later.
Yeah.
You know, and it matches.
Do you know the striations you get on the beach when the tide goes out, those little ripples? Mm-hmm. Well, all around there, those ripples are 40 feet high. So can you imagine the level of water that came through there? And we also have a minimum time event for that because there's a volcano not too far away, which we know last erupted between 12 and 14,000 years ago. We know that because the tidal wave cut straight through the volcanic strata. So the volcano came first, the flood came after.
Wow.
And there's two floods, one coming from the northeast and one coming from the north. And still to this day, there is sea salt deposits, microcrust and crustaceans, littering the floor.
Wow. Yeah.
And the thing is, if you go there, like it's so like in the middle of nowhere in Africa.
Yeah. Yeah.
That
you're risking your life going there, you know?
Yeah.
And Atlantis was said to be built out of naturally occurring red, white, and black stones. And all over the floor of the Rishat structure are red, black, and white stones. I mean, how much evidence do you need? It either has a 100-mile plain on either side of the city or it doesn't. It either has giant rock for
you're cutting out a little bit.
Yeah.
To the north or it doesn't. See or it doesn't. Plato's stable connection here as well. Plato also tells us the size of the place that he gives in stadia, but in our time, it's half a kilometer out. So I think there's a lot of pluses for the Rishat structure, but for me, the motherland of it all, it's under the Sahara.
Yeah, definitely. You know, something that stands out to me about that is the fact that there is such little research into that area.
Yeah.
And again, it's in the middle of nowhere. But then again, like, there's some other bullshit that is in the middle of nowhere that we research a lot of.
but there's nothing going into this at all.
Or is it the fact that they've researched and it doesn't tally with the timeline?
Correct.
Yeah.
Because to change history at this point is going to cost a hell of a lot of money. You've got to change history books, encyclopedias, everything online, school books, college books. Some faiths may even be tested. You know, it could. But I think we're at the tipping point now where there's that much evidence. It's going to go over, you know.
Andy,
the Romans. Yeah.
Have you heard of this solar eclipse that's coming up in about a week?
Yeah.
Me and Julio are right in the path of that. It's only going to be like 3 minutes. You think there's any significance to that?
There was definitely a solar event that happened in the ancient city of Tanis. And to this day, if you Google Earth, Tanis, it's surrounded by green, and nothing grows there to this day. They say the soil feels like flour, like all the nutrients have been burned out. 1,000-ton statues were smashed as if they were made out of paper mache. It's the statue where the guy stands next to the big toe, and it's half the size of him. You know, this statue was huge. And it wasn't destroyed, it was obliterated. The entire city was obliterated. And all the heat seems to come from one direction, the east. And the scorch marks on the granite, because a lot of the old kingdom structures were built out of the most hardest rock, basalt, granite, quartzite, which is so difficult to cut, even today, you know?
Right. And
the Egyptologists tell us they did all this with the Egyptian toolkit, which frankly is impossible, physics-wise.
Yep. I don't really want to get into politics too much, but I'm an Irishman, so like, what's going on over there between Britain and Ireland? Like, it just seems like the Irish are kind of like oppressed, but half of them like it, half of them want that, and half of them don't. Tell me what your view is on that.
Well, we've got an unelected prime minister who's in charge at the minute. That's the first thing. I don't actually follow the Irish situation much because it changes on a daily basis. There's so much bad blood between the Protestants and the Catholics, even though they pray to the same God. But there's so much bad blood. There's been so many atrocities. I don't think they can let go of their past. And it's a past that we're responsible for, by the way. The English, if you like, at the time, they've caused all this. They've caused all this mess. You know? Scotland wanting devolution away from England. They had a referendum. The people voted no. They're trying to force through another referendum now. Frankly, our politics is about as messy as yours.
Right.
And we are not represented anymore. It's not a representative democracy. I remember when Margaret Thatcher wanted to invade the Falkland Islands, she asked the country if we should do it. There was a referendum and we were asked. Now when there's a war, we just get told. So what's changed?
Right.
The media, when I was growing up, used to call out the politicians, give them a really hard time, ask difficult questions, and now they just seem to be the mouthpiece of whatever political party they're supporting. Kind of like the cases you've got with Fox News and CNN. And,
right.
You know.
I don't even think it's the politicians. I think it's the global elites that are running us, all the discluding the third world countries are the only ones that have any kind of freedom, I guess. You know what I mean? And like, how closely do you follow our politics?
Yeah.
I mean, okay. So before you answer that, you said our politics. I mean, is it really our politics, or is it like a worldwide agenda?
Yeah, it's global.
Run by a certain group. I just want to hear an opinion.
Andy, you cutting out? Having technical issues here.
Close it, but not on.
Here we go.
Trudeau, the guy, I can't even think of the guy's name that runs our country anymore, Rishi Sunak, they all attend the World Forum meeting. They seem to want a global government, which for me, it doesn't work because the reason why we left Europe is because we were being run by people who we hadn't elected, who were deciding where our fishermen could fish in our own waters, how our farmers could farm on their own farms. It was ludicrous.
Right.
But how much have I followed your politics recently? Quite a lot. 10 years ago, if you said to me Trump could be the savior of the world, I'd have laughed in your face. But right now, this second, I think Trump is the only guy that can stop World War III.
I agree.
He's the only person in the last 100 years who lost money during the presidency and didn't make a fortune. That for me is a telling statement right there. He wants to put the borders protected. You've got people coming in that are drug dealing, kidnapping, sex trafficking. And Biden's like welcoming them in. It's insane. It is insane.
It is. That is.
And now, my view on Trump hasn't changed. I still think he's a bit of a dick. He's the only president that you've had for the last 50 years who did not have a war, who ended a war, and whose basic thoughts on economy run through his business-minded head. He's not a politician, and that's what we need. We need a businessman running this. Because at the end of the day, to run a country, it's a business.
Exactly.
There's an income sheet, there's an outgoing sheet. They've got a balance.
Agreed.
I hope to God Trump beats these stupid charges. I thought there was an amendment that said somebody running for the presidency couldn't be harassed like this.
Yeah.
Like Trump is being.
They don't follow any of the rules anymore because they're scared shitless of him. You know what I mean? Like,
Biden seems to be appointing level 3 judges who don't know what the Second Amendment is.
Yep.
Just so we can get his policies through. It's disgusting, you know?
Right.
But I think Trump's got the balls enough to and the energy, because don't forget he's quite an elderly guy now.
Yeah.
But he doesn't seem it. He seems like he's in his 60s with the way he rolls.
Yeah.
He's on point. He doesn't use a script. It comes off the top of his head. And yeah, he says some things that are a bit out there. But his main policies for me make a lot of sense.
Yeah. I mean,
I think he could sit down with Putin within a day and then end the Ukrainian war, just like he says.
Right. And when it comes down to it, though, it's about facts, not feelings, right? He talks shit and calls people names, which it's not really professional, but I think it's funny. He can keep on doing that shit in my book.
He grabs women by the pussy. I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah, it's insane.
And speaking of, like,
now it turns out that go on.
All right, Andy, there you cutting out.
Okay, I'm sorry, mate.
No, it's okay. You were talking about like Biden and his policies on the border. You guys got some of them issues too, right?
Yeah.
But it's more like Middle East, right?
Yeah, we've got boats coming over from France on a regular basis. There's one guy with a full beard claiming to be a 14-year-old man, and we've accepted that. What the hell is going on here? This guy's claiming he's 14. He looks about 40.
Well, I mean, what's that got to do with it? Is there an issue with, like, if you're young, you're allowed to cross or something like that?
I think they don't want military age fighting men here who could be here for other reasons rather than, you know, I welcome anybody into this country if you want to abide by the law of the land.
Yeah, work,
pay your taxes, live in peace. Welcome to England. If you don't want to do any of those things and you want to be disruptive, then this isn't the place for you. But amen. There's so much political correctness going on that you can't say the wrong thing or you're branded a racist, a misogynist, a bigotist, you know?
Right. And most of them are undocumented here. Well, that's the issue. You don't know how old they are because there's no paperwork on them or nothing. They just cross, and then they're here.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
But they've all got the $5,000 to pay the boatman.
Yeah. I mean, Julio came over from Nicaragua. He knows all about that stuff. But, I mean, he's on the books now. So nobody can really call me a racist because I do this show with Julio every week. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Well, I lived in Greece for 5 years, so I'm an immigrant. I was an immigrant there, and the first thing I did was learn the words hello, goodbye, please, thank you.
There you go.
Yeah, no, I believe in that. If you're in a country that you immigrated to, you got to assimilate.
Right.
You got to put some effort into it.
And like, if you use a little bit of effort, they'll see that and they accept you more.
Exactly.
Yep.
Even if you make mistakes that they laugh at and we have a giggle because, oh, that means this, and, you know.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
That's beautiful.
You know what it's like to be an immigrant. You've got to respect other people's laws and traditions, and it's their land, so you have to bend to their way, whatever your view. The law of the land is the law of the land.
Yep. Right, absolutely.
But I mean, how do so many people feel entitled, especially with the immigration going on in Europe and the people crossing our border here in the United States? Yep. I mean, it's not Latin American people here in the United States, and it's not necessarily European people coming to other European countries. It's people from the Middle East, like you said. Like how come they can't assimilate? How come they require accommodation? Why do they require us to, like, bow down to them and their customs? Like, I'm sorry, I don't pray your prayers, and that's okay, but you can respect mine and I can respect yours.
Right. I'll give you an example of that, Julio. We were just talking about, so up in Dearborn, Michigan, we have the largest Muslim population. It's like,
I've heard about it.
Yeah. And, there's a Taco Bell up there where they practice Sharia law. One line to order is for men and one line is for women. Now, how the fuck do you practice Sharia law right in the middle of the United States? It's crazy.
Wow.
But if you say one thing against that, you're a racist.
No, I'm not. But I know what you're saying. Yeah. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's bullshit.
But because I've studied ancient
history. You're muted, Julio.
You can't study ancient history without studying religion. And in their Quran, it says that anybody who is not a Muslim is filthy.
Right. Yep.
So that's how they view us, as filthy.
I mean, but the crazy part is seeing all these women marching, defending, you know, like all these different religions that really don't really give them anything.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, like, and then even you go as far as to see, like, gay people or transgender people standing up for Palestine.
It's crazy. It's crazy.
And it's like if you go over there,
they'll be thrown off a roof.
Yeah.
They'll be thrown off a roof.
Yet you don't value where you're at.
That sense is in Saudi Arabia to be gay still. You know?
Right. Yeah.
And they have football stadiums that they fill to go and watch these things. How fucked up is that?
Right. Yeah, man.
You know?
It's
crazy.
Yeah, I recently at work I freaked out a guy because he said that there was a transgender person in the lobby that said he would suck his dick.
Oh boy!
And I was like, What did you say? What did you do? And he's like, I didn't say anything. I just walked away. And I'm like, why? I'm mouth to mouth.
Come on, man.
He had no response.
Bad joke.
He had no response. Yeah. I just left him in doubt, but like.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
All right, Andy. So is there really I've heard about these laws over there in England. Like you're not allowed to have knives and shit now? Is that true?
Yeah.
Wow.
You're not allowed to walk on the street with the knife.
Just a billy club.
That's crazy.
However, many people still do, and it seems to be the younger generation. I'm talking from 13 to 16 to 17 year olds. They're walking around with not just pen knives, they're walking around with bowie knives.
I ride with a machete in my truck in the middle of the seats because there's a lot of like when they have protests over here and start blocking the road, you know, say somebody needs to go to the hospital or some shit like that. And you're just protesting because you feel entitled and all this bullshit. I will behead a motherfucker if I'm trying to get to the hospital. That's what my machete's for.
Yeah.
I carry a chainsaw.
Extreme, but yeah.
I'm ready to go.
What are you chopping down now, brother?
Hey, so like these kids that carry knives, Andy, what kind of charges are brought on them if they get caught?
It depends how old they are. If they're under 16, they basically get a slap on the wrist.
Same here.
16 to 18, they can go to a juvenile detention center, which is like a jail for kids.
Yeah, we got those.
18 and over, you have your three strike rule. So if you get caught with the knife three times as an adult, you can expect double figures.
Okay.
But we're nowhere near where you are handing down 100 year sentences, and that doesn't happen there.
And if you're an Irishman, you get sent to Australia.
Yeah.
Right? Are you familiar with that?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah.
Let's talk about that a little bit.
Everybody that they didn't want here was sent to Australia. All the criminals were sent to... They emptied the jails, stuck them on a boat on a one-way trip.
And that's where all the white Australians came from, right?
Triple the Bobby.
Yeah.
Foster. Pass me a Foster, fuck.
Yeah. If only Foster's beer tasted like Peroni, we'd be on to a winner.
What do you think's going on with... what do you think's going on with Kate Middleton?
Apparently she has cancer.
So did they like try to hide her or what? if that's true.
I think so. I think there were some photos that were edited, and the papers got onto the editing. She was given a really hard time. And then she sort of came out and said, yeah, they found cancer in my abdominal region. I like Kate. I like William. I'm not a royalist, really. I mean, if you go back to the 1400s, there's a very big rumor that the Queen slept with an archer. So the guy that she was married to had a very pinched face, quite a large nose and black hair. And she gave birth to a robust double chin blonde guy that was built like a brick shit house. There's definitely a school of thought that says he was illegitimate. Therefore, every king or queen since is illegitimate.
Right.
But they don't talk about that much.
Yeah, and they supposedly the royal family started out as Germans anyway, correct? Are you familiar with that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I believe one of the very higher ups in the Second World War was firmly in league with the Nazis. You know, he wanted to get on board with that and sort of share a world empire where they controlled one half, we controlled the other.
Yep.
I can't quite think of his name, but he was high up, you know.
Yeah, that brings up. Have you heard of Operation Paperclip, where they brought the Nazis over?
Is that the South American connection?
Yeah, and then Wernher von Braun came up and started running NASA. What do you think of the moon mission?
Yeah. Oh, it definitely happened. I'm not one of these people that thinks the moon mission didn't happen. I mean, they put a mirror up there so they could bounce a laser off and basically tell how far away the moon is at any given time. So
I've heard that.
How did that get there if they didn't go to the moon?
But they say they lost the technology. That's what.
Yeah,
I don't understand that.
Academia has a really bad habit of losing tapes that are of vital importance, so that don't fit the paradigm that they're trying to sell us, you know?
Yeah.
So that we talked about this before, Fox.
I know.
Remember when I went to the Aerospace Museum in Kalamazoo? There was a NASA engine, and I stood underneath it. It was a Saturn rocket engine.
Yeah.
And it was amazing. It was huge, and I was scared to stand underneath it.
I went to Kennedy Space Center when I was 19 with my parents. I did everything I could to get out of that holiday. I couldn't think of anything worse than spending 2 weeks with my parents. I swear to God, it was one of the best holidays of my life.
Nice.
And we went to Saturn Kennedy, and those Saturn V engine exhaust ports, you could park a bus in them. You know,
they are huge.
They are huge. Yeah.
And I was scared, and I remember there was a veteran. This place is staffed by like veterans, you know, who flew the planes or whatever.
Yeah.
And I said, like, what if this thing I expressed to him that I felt scared to stand underneath it. And he's like, it's not going to fire off. It's not attached to, like, anything.
Yeah.
But the size of it was impressive. And I asked him, I said, because I did this as I stood underneath it.
Yeah.
and my daughter ragged on me a little bit about it. But I asked him, I said, how come they say we can't go back to the moon? That we lost the technology. I mean, like, look at this. And he said, it's not that we lost the technology. It's just that now it's different. every piece back then was handmade.
Yeah.
Now we use CNC.
Yeah.
You know, to like make the parts.
Yeah.
And I actually saw a video of people replicating the Saturn V engine using modern CNC. And they actually made it better.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we can still go back to the moon.
Yeah.
We still have the technology. It's actually even better.
And it's so much easier to launch off the moon. You don't need all that rocket propellant. You don't need all that force to break through the atmosphere.
Yeah. So why don't we?
You know, without putting the tinfoil hat on, is there a base there? You know, because there's the NASA public side, but there's also the NASA military side, and they're two very different concepts.
Definitely, because him saying that actually kind of like opened my eyes to the fact that, like, okay, so we actually can make this technology even better now, but we're not using it to go back there. Like, what's stopping us?
Yeah.
He actually opened my eyes to a lot more.
Yeah.
And at the same time, at this place, I saw the SR-71 Blackbird, which is my favorite airplane in the world.
Oh, God. Here we go.
I know. Oh, man.
It is a beast, though, right? It is a beast.
Yeah.
It is. It's beautiful. It's sexy.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So tell the listeners where they can find your book. And all that.
I'm speaking to a publisher at the minute who I can either do it two ways. Pay a publisher £600 plus VAT to release the book, and I get 100% of the royalties. Or I can go through Amazon, pay nothing up front. They design the cover for me, and they take 30% of the royalties. And saying as 70% of all books at the minute are sold on Amazon, I'm thinking that's the way I'm going to go forward. The book is now finished. It's been through the editing process. It's been through the final polish. So it's ready to go. I've just got to decide which way I'm going to do this thing.
Okay. Yeah, Bezos is a fucker, isn't he?
Yeah.
I don't know.
The book is called The Fourth Age of Man. And basically, I try and find oral traditions that no matter which continent you go on, you get the same story. So right. The flood, ancient civilizations that had higher technology. And by higher technology, I don't mean mobile phones and computers. I mean they knew higher maths. They could understand the engineering. They used animal husbandry, grew crops, had medicine, you know?
Yeah.
That's what I mean by higher technology. They weren't hunter-gatherers. They'd taken a big step away. And I firmly believe now with peer-reviewed science that the Americas were probably populated from the middle and then the tribes spread out north and south. Because that's where all the oldest evidence is.
Right. Yep. Are you going to do an audio book?
It'll be on if I go the Amazon way, it'll be on Kindle.
Okay.
Audible, paperback, and available through bookshops.
All right. That's what I'll probably do because I usually listen at work while I'm working. I'm definitely going to check that book out, though.
Yeah.
That was an interesting comment that you made about how maybe America started in the center. Because when it comes to a nuclear disaster, our nuclear sites are actually at the center of the country. They're not on the coast.
Yeah. Well, I've spent 35 years researching this book, and it started as a labor of love with no intention to publish. I enjoy it. I'm teaching myself to read hieroglyphics. I just enjoyed the subject so much that my notes turned into kind of a book. And when somebody read those notes, they said, you should release this. You should polish this up and release it as a book. And that was three years ago. I only seriously got into it 2 years ago. I probably finished about 18 months in. And the last 6 months have just been editing, checking for grammar, checking for spelling mistakes, you know, dotting the I's, crossing the T's, because I don't want to be charged by Amazon for them doing it.
Right. So this is your one and only book so far?
Up to now, yeah. Yeah, I do have another one lined up, and that is just about all oral traditions again, but that stretch back some 40,000 years. And there's always a kernel of truth.
Right. Yeah.
There's always a kernel of truth to these oral traditions, where the written word can be changed by nothing more than a single line. And I'll give you a perfect example. In every mosque in the world is a wall called the Qibla wall. And that wall always points towards Mecca. But the first six mosques ever built, the Qibla wall points to ancient Petra. One even points to Jerusalem. There was then a regime change at exactly the same time. And after that, every mosque was built with the Qibla wall facing Mecca. In ancient Arabic, Petra was called Becca. So to change it into Mecca, all you do is draw a line underneath the first letter, and you've changed it from Becca to Mecca.
Wow.
And that changed history for 2 billion people worldwide because of the Hajj and all the people coming there every year to pay their respects. It's a huge income maker.
Got commercialized.
We're all praying to the same God, but they got us fighting with each other, and that's the way they like it, right?
I actually went out of my way to ask a Christian, a Muslim, and a Jew, not all in the same room, not at the same time, because I didn't want defensive answers. Do you pray to the same God? And without hesitation, they all said yes. I said, so why are you hating on each other so much? Surely you have more in common than you have in the not in common column.
Yep.
But the atrocities they both committed on each other, we need a solution, and the two-state solution doesn't seem to be working.
Right. Yeah, man, that's the whole idea behind this podcast. Trying to figure something out, you know, trying to make a difference, but that's all we can do.
A good example of who I think is doing a good job about making a difference is Florida.
Yeah.
Hey, you got to enable participant screen sharing real quick.
Oh, man, come on.
But Florida's doing a good job. They say that the police force says that it's cheaper if you just shoot the person invading your house.
Oh, man, I had that clip loaded. I was going to play it. Go ahead. All right, you loading it? You should be able to do it.
I stop video.
Hold on.
I'm viewing Julio Martinez screen, it says. Allow. Is it Joe Rogan?
Yeah, that's Julio playing it. There's no sound, Julio.
Shit, okay.
Joey Diaz and Rogan.
Yeah. Joey Diaz is a legend, man.
Huh. Julio, no sound.
I know you said that. I'm trying to fix it. Hold on, I'm sorry.
It's on the share screen at the very beginning.
Yeah.
Like up here, right?
I get what you're saying, though, you know, shoot home intruders. I believe that's why everybody in America is so polite to each other, because everybody's fucking armed. You know?
Oh, it's not like that over there?
Not so much.
Huh. All right.
Dude, I guess I don't know how to turn the audio on.
All right, never mind. We're going to end it anyway. Yeah. So, yeah.
Oh, there you are.
Yeah. All right, Andy. Thanks for coming on, man.
It's been a pleasure.
That book sounds amazing. I can't wait to listen to it.
Look out for the book. It's called The Fourth Age of Man, and it should be released by Christmas.
You're saying Amazon, probably?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I think so, yeah.
I'm a physical book guy.
Yeah, no, I get it, but I'm going to get it on audio because I'm... Right.
And there's nothing in there that's bullshit. I've made a few reaches, but if we don't speculate, we stagnate.
Okay.
That's my theory.
Sounds good. Okay. All right, it's called...
And thank you guys for giving me the opportunity to talk about it, and you, and I hope we stay in touch in the future. It's been fun.
Right. Definitely. We'll have you back on when... Hey, give me an email when the book actually comes out, and we'll have you back on again.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Sure, great. Nice one, Fox.
Yeah, thanks, man.
Okay.
All right, so if anybody's got any questions, comments, bitches, gripes, complaints, conspiracysoldiers@yahoo.com. Conspiracy Soldiers on Instagram, Conspiracy Soldiers on Rumble, Conspiracy Soldiers on YouTube.
I've got to sign up to a few of those now so I can link up with you properly through social media.
Yeah, thanks, man. You got any that you want to put out there before we go off the air?
Not just yet. I've just bought the domain name, thefourthageofman.com, and I've got the email address, thefourthageofman@gmail.com. So I've just got those sorted recently. So I'm going to start putting out half the first chapter as like a teaser, to try and get people more interested in it. And the more things I can do like this to get the word out, the better it's going to be.
All right, there you go.
So thanks again, guys.
Thank you, man.
Yeah.
Book sounds great.
When I read the book, man, we got to do a talk about it. I want to do a discussion. Yeah.
Definitely. It's all peer-reviewed science and some of my own opinions and my hypothesis. Because there's no point writing a book if you've nothing new to say.
Yeah, exactly. Nobody's got time for bullshit, right? All right. Yeah. All right. Thanks again.
Conspiracy Soldiers Garlic Parm on Instagram.
Right. Yeah, I forgot to include that.
Yeah.
Let me just grab a pen a sec, guys.
All right.
All right.
And Conspiracy Soldiers Garlic Parm on Instagram. Conspiracy Soldiers Garlic Parm on Instagram. I'm plugging myself a lot.
Yep.
Conspiracy Soldiers
Garlic Parm
on Instagram.
I'm just Conspiracy Soldiers. Julio's Conspiracy Soldiers Garlic Parm. And then, yeah.
I got told I have nice teeth, by the way. I think I do.
I will definitely hook up with the guys through social media, and we'll continue our chats, and I'll let you know when the book's going to be released.
Okay. And if you want to listen to this, you can find it on Spotify, Apple, whatever, wherever you listen to, podcasts and stuff. But
podcasts, yeah.
It's a good episode. Thanks, man.
Yeah.
Thank you.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Yep.
Thank you.
All right. Conspiracy Soldiers is going dark.
Be aware, Fox and his friends are not doctors or experts. Do not take these opinions as the gospel. Although they are highly intelligent, sexy, and influential, please think for yourself.
I want to thank the girls over at Socially Toxic Podcast for that little disclaimer. Thank you.